Lord Krishna stopped at Hastinapur of the Pandavas, the Lord decided to stay, especially to pacify the aggrieved king as well as to please Subhadra, the sister of Lord Shri Krishna. Subhadra was especially to be pacified because she lost her only son, Abhimanyu, who was just married. The boy left his wife Uttara, mother of Manas Parikshit. The Lord is always pleased to satisfy his devotees in any capacity. Only his devotees can play the parts of his devotees. The Lord is absolute. ॐ ज्ञानदेवस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोदिष्टम् स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाकलाभिनयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्दे अहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुगापदकमलम् श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साधुजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं भक्तजीवं साद्वैतं साधुतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च
हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपादमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारिणं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरं परमानंद माधवम्। ट्रांसलेशन वंस अगेन। श्री हरि लॉर्ड श्री कृष्णा रिसाइडेड एट हस्तिनापुर फॉर अ फ्यू मंथ्स टू पेसिफाई हिज रिलेटिव्स एंड टू प्लीज हिज ओन सिस्टर सुभद्रा। Seek the blessings of all the devotees so that I can speak something worthwhile for my own nourishment and for my own purification. So, we are reading from the 10th chapter of the first canto, where after enthroning King Yudhishthir, or after enthroning Yudhishthir Maharaj as the king of Hastinapur, now, Lord Krishna is planning to depart for Dwarka. It is said that great personalities, they know exactly when and where to draw their lines, and they also know when and where to invest their time. They value time so much that eventually the time values them. And with the passage of time, they actually end up becoming great leaders of the society. And one of the reasons why great personality are so great is because they have mastered the art of time management. Time management is not just about utilizing time, but prioritizing what's important. Time management, in fact, it is said that what we are busy for is more important than just being busy. Even a rat is found running around, and it seems to be busy running around, but get eventually caught and trapped. We also have to, we also may have to run around, but we have to run around for the right cause and for the right purpose, so that we don't waste our time, but we end up becoming more and more productive and contribute something to society. So time management is not just about utilizing our time, but it's all about prioritizing what's important. In fact, time management has very little to do with managing time. Time management is more about mind management. And mind management is all about three things. Mind management is all about disciplining our thoughts, managing our desires, and regulating our emotions. Because the three things take away our time more than any action that we do in this world. Our desires, our thought processes, and our emotions, they really consume a lot of our time if we are not really conscious of. Consciously, unconsciously, they steal away our time. So this is what time management is all about. Time management is all about mind management, and mind management is all about managing these three things. And we see here in this verse, Lord Krishna has spent a good amount of time in Hastinapur. He has spent many, many months staying at one place. No? And as a leader, he actually knows where and when to draw a line and where and when to invest his time. No, it is said that mushkil ghadi sabhi ko aati hai. Mushkil ghadi sabhi ko aati hai. Koi nikhar jata hai to koi bikhar jata hai. Yadi vakt ki parwa nahi ki to wahi vakt bahut zakhm dega. Usi liye shayad vakt ki ghadi mein phool nahi parantu kaate hote hain. No? We see a clock. No, clock has three hands. In Hindi we call them kaata. No? We ask this question ki ghadi ke kaate mein abhi kitne baj rahe hain. So ghadi mein phool nahi hote, vakt ki ghadi mein phool nahi hote parantu kaate hote hain. Yadi us vakt ko यदि हम साधारण ले लेंगे या वक्त को या वक्त की परवाह नहीं करेंगे तो वही वक्त हमें अधिक से अधिक जख्म देंगे. सो यस, इट वॉज अ डिफिकल्ट टाइम इन हस्तिनापुर. मुश्किल घड़ी. इट वॉज अ टफ टाइम. इट वॉज अ ग्रेट टर्मोइल इन हस्तिनापुर. हस्तिनापुर, द पीपल ऑफ हस्तिनापुर रियली नीडेड समवन नो हु कुड रियली ब्रिंग अबाउट stability and steadiness during that most critical hour. And it is explained here, Subhadra had just lost her son, Abhimanyu. Not only that, again, Subhadra's grandson, that is Parikshit Maharaj, was also attacked in the womb of Uttara. So naturally, Subhadra's heart must have got shattered. Of course, there were many others who lost their relatives. Draupadi lost her five sons and many more. So yes, as per the verse, tough time has come in the life of Subhadra, who is the embodiment of all auspiciousness. The word Subhadra means auspiciousness. But even inauspicious moment has come in the life of someone who is the embodiment of all auspiciousness. So this itself teaches us a very deep lesson that the world that we live in does not spare anyone. Even the good pious people who have lived a life of goodness, who have lived the life of auspiciousness by creating auspiciousness around them, they also have to see the inauspicious moments. But What is more important is when tough time strikes, if we have Krishna around us, if we have Krishna with us, then even those inauspicious moments may turn into auspicious times. Mahavipatto samsare yasmaret madhusudana vipatto tasya sampatti bhavet iti ah shankarah. Mahavipatto samsare, the mahavipattis will come, even the life of those who have had all auspicious things around. You know, nowadays people, they are so conscious of keeping auspicious items in their homes, no? Just so that good will prevail. But then that will not stop them, or that will not stop inauspiciousness coming into their lives. And here it is explained, Lord Krishna personally spent his time in Hastinapur for a reason, for a purpose. The purpose was to vanish that inauspiciousness which was so very much prevalent all around Hastinapur. One of the names of Lord Krishna is Subhadra. Yat kirtanam yat shravanam yad ikshanam yad vandanam yad smaranam yad arhanam lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasham tasmai Subhadra shravase namo namaha. Lord Krishna is all auspicious, and when we chant, when we remember, when we glorify, you know, Lord Krishna's personality, his pastimes, then, no, lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasham tasmai Subhadra shravase namo namaha. No, we can actually get rid of all the kalmashas. Tapasvino dana parayashashvino manasvino mantra vidusu mangala kshemam navindanti vinaya darpanam tasmai Subhadra shravase namo namaha. Series of verses in the second canto where Lord Krishna is being addressed as Subhadra, all auspicious. And here, when the inauspiciousness is prevailing all across, all around Hastinapur, especially in the life of Subhadra, who is the embodiment of all auspiciousness, Lord Krishna's presence was much needed. Interestingly, the verse that we are discussing today, no, Lord Krishna here is addressed as Hari. Masan Katipayan Hari. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining, he is instructing to Sanatan Goswami the meaning of Atmaram verse. 61 different ways of explaining the Atmaram verse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains the meaning of the word Hari. Atmaramascha munayo nirgrantam api urukrame kurvanti ahaitukim bhakti. What is that? Ut itam bhuta guno harihi. So the word comes Hari there in this Atmaram verse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatan Goswami the meaning of the word Hari. And there he explains, Hari shabde nana artha dui mukhyatam sarva amangala hare premadiya hare man. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that the word Hari has many, many meanings. But dui mukhyatam, but this word Hari has two main meanings. Sarva amangala hare, diya prem hare man. The word Hari actually denotes someone who steals. Hari means harna. Someone who steals what? Steals amangal or inauspiciousness. And someone who can actually still one's mind. Premadiya hare man. So even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the meaning of the word Hari means someone who steals away all the inauspiciousness. And here we see the word that is being used for Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is being addressed here as Hari. And he is here in Hastinapur to steal away, to vanish the inauspiciousness that is all prevailing. So Lord comes in this world for a purpose. Lord acts, or Lord, whatever he does for a reason, for a purpose. So it's not that Lord Krishna or Lord Hari was in Hastinapur for a vacation, no, staying away from his family life's janjat. No, that was not the reason. No, he comes here in this world for a mission, and for him every moment counts. As a missionary, no, every moment is very, very precious and priceless. And it is said here, Lord is spending many, many months just staying at one place. So Lord Krishna knows for sure what is worth prioritizing and what's really going to be productive. Lord Krishna is not just busy in achieving his goals, achieving his targets. Lord Krishna is not just busy just focusing on the projects, but he is equally, or in fact more, very sensitively and maturely handling the most difficult project, that is handling people. Handling project is one thing, handling people is a bigger project than just managing the projects. And now he's so much caring for devotees here. And Lord Krishna considers caring for devotees equally important than just caring for projects. He's being so personal. He's being so personal, and he's spending his good, precious time in caring, in counseling, in comforting, in consoling his relatives. That means Lord Krishna really is emphasizing this important point, which probably in a mission may get obscured. And this is what this verse is actually teaching us. Many times, many leaders are so much in their ivory tower. I'm not talking about the ivory tower that we have here. Ivory tower is a metaphorical phrase. It's a metaphorical place or an atmosphere where people just are so happily cut off from the ground level reality. That's the meaning of ivory tower actually. And in order to favor their own material pursuit, they actually love to get cut off. So many a times, leader, they may just be so much cut off from the ground level reality, and they may just get so much busy in acquiring power, position, or probably, say, possession, whatever. And in that course, they may end up forgetting. They may not be aware of the ground level reality, what people are actually going through. So Krishna is not just busy acquiring, probably property or kingdom for the king, but Krishna is equally concerned about, caring for people. We have heard this word PM. So it is said that the P of PM is not just about project management, but the P of PM also is equally applicable for people management. So mature leaders are those who try to strike a balance between the project and people. Trivikram Swami, one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he recalls that one time he went to Srila Prabhupada and he told Prabhupada that, "Prabhupada, Swamiji, I am going to a library to get a book on how to do massage because my body needs massage. But I don't know how to do massage. So I am going to a library to acquire a book which will speak something on massage." Prabhupada said it's not really needed to acquire a book on massage because it's not a rocket science. It's very simple. So he just followed what Prabhupada said. 2 days later, Prabhupada met him. And Prabhupada asked him, How is your health? Swamiji, well, I am okay, but I have a toothache. So Prabhupada said, what are you doing about it? So he said, yes, today I have planned to go to a dentist. And then, no, he went to a dentist, got his tooth prepared. Next day morning, Trivikram Swami would every day serve Srila Prabhupada. So he would wait for Prabhupada to call him. So he was waiting down on the ground floor and Prabhupada was on the first floor. And every day Prabhupada would call him, come up. And he would come. He would go up. And today, when Prabhupada called him, before even Prabhupada could call him, Prabhupada went down. And before Trivikram Swami could speak anything, Prabhupada asked him, how is your toothache? Now, Trivikram Swami, no, he said, I'm fine. But that one statement of Prabhupada striked. It touched him so much that he is actually telling, he's writing in his realization that there was no need for a world acharya to even remember that someone, small, insignificant person had a toothache. But still, no, Prabhupada remembered that. And that was his compassion. And we all got this feeling that how much Prabhupada cared for us. And he was never here in America to exploit us in any way. And Trivikram Swami also shares one more story. No, one time in Tokyo, Shyam Sundar Prabhu was serving Srila Prabhupada. All of a sudden he got sick. And when he got sick, there was no one to really take care of him. Finally, Prabhupada met him. Prabhupada asked him, how are you feeling? And then he said, Swamiji, what could I do? There was no one to really help him. Prabhupada called for an Ishta Gosti immediately. And Prabhupada chastised the temple, the commander and the leaders there. And Prabhupada said, why didn't you take care of him? No? And then finally, Prabhupada looked at Shyam Sundar Prabhu and Prabhupada told him, with a gravity on his face, Prabhupada said, when you were not feeling well, why didn't you ask me to come? I would have personally come and nursed you. And Shyam Sundar Prabhu, he said, this was the last thing that we expected from Prabhupada. But Prabhupada was just, you know, so much loving and caring for us that we were completely bowled out in his service. Just as Krishna here is showing a lot of empathy, you know, towards his relatives, towards those people who have lost their near ones and dear ones, we can see to some extent, you know, the same quality of leadership being actually demonstrated in Ramayana by Lord Ram. Now, we all know when there was this fierce battle between Lord Ram's army and Ravana's army, it was but natural that Ravana's army actually, the entire battle heavily favored Ravana's army. No? For three main reasons. The first reason being the monkey soldiers in Ram's army, no, they actually were having very few weapons with them in compared to Ravana's army who had formidable weapons. Second reason is Ram's monkey soldiers were in a foreign territory where they were not aware of what's what in compared to the Ravana's, you know, army soldiers who were actually on their home pitch. And the third thing is Ram's monkey soldiers were not highly organized when it comes to, you know, fighting a battle, you know, in compare to Ravana's army. But in spite of all these odds, these monkey won the battle. Now, what was the reason? What was the reason why these monkey soldiers, they actually, you know, won the World Cup? Although they had no chance. There was hardly any possibility. No, was it their skill? Was it their competency? Or was it their devotion and dedication for Lord Ram? Yes, for sure it was their dedication to Lord Ram in his service. But more than that, it was the dedication of Lord Ram towards these monkey soldiers. that actually made or that actually forced monkey soldiers to really, you know, go all out and serve Lord Ram wholeheartedly. And if we compare the respective leaders, you know, say Ram and Ravana, it is explained that Ravana's army man knew Ravana for quite some time. It was not that Ravana kept changing his army men, his soldiers, in compared to Ram's army, where the soldiers were not really aware of who Ram is. Above that, these monkey soldiers were not even fully aware of who their master is, Sugriv. Because initially, no, Sugriv came in the picture later on. But initially, all these monkey soldiers were ruled by Bali. So these soldiers did not know their master properly. These soldiers did not even know, monkey soldiers did not even know their own master properly. In comparison to Ravana's army, where his soldiers, no, his ministers knew Ravana for a quite some time. Not only that, Ravana had shared a lot of his prosperity with his soldiers and with his ministers. Naturally, the city of Lanka was quite prosperous. That's why it was called Golden City. In compared to that, Ram could not offer much to these monkey soldiers. He could not even pay remuneration to these monkey soldiers. But seeing all this, still we see that these monkey soldiers were willing to lay down their lives. Now, one of the reasons why monkeys, they dedicated their lives to Lord Ram could be, no, because of the obedience to their authority, that okay, Sugriv told, Hanuman told, so all these monkey soldiers, okay, they are willing to do whatever their, no, their heads are telling. The other reason could be that the leading monkeys themselves were the great devotees of Lord Ram. So yes, they were inspired by the devotion of these leaders, Jamvan, Sugriv, Hanuman, Angad, and so on and so forth. So that could also be one of the reasons. But it is explained that beyond all such factors, the major cause of devotion was the character of the object of their devotion, that is Lord Ram. So it was the character of the ideal king which really captured and transformed their hearts. And as a result, when a leader, you know, is so much caring and going out in to serve his or her subordinates, naturally, you know, this is going to be a concomitant factor, a result. And interestingly, it is explained that if we compare Ravana's strategy to Ram's strategy, Ravana, after the end of every day's battle, Ravana would order his soldiers and army men to throw away all the dead corpses deep into the ocean, so that, no, these corpses should not come again floating on the shore. And so, and one more reason why he would tell, no, to throw his dead soldiers into ocean was, one of the reason was, so that next day when the monkey soldiers, when they come on the battlefield, they will actually get demoralized, seeing that, oh, there is no one here, we did not kill anyone. So this was Ravana's strategy. No, his strategy was use and throw. Use them till the time they can contribute, and throw them once they cannot, once they become useless. No, this is the modern day's, no, strategy. No, use the cow till the time the cow is giving milk. Slaughter the cow once the cow stops giving milk. That's the use and throw mentality. That's the typical Ravana mentality that we see in the world today. In contrast to this, Lord Ram would stay awake late night doing the final funeral ceremony of those monkey soldiers who dead, who actually left their bodies. See the contrast. One leader focusing only on the project. One leader focusing not only on the project, but also on the people who are helping in the project. And not only that, Ravan, it is explained that Ravan was busy in his ivory tower, in his magnificent palace. No, sorry. I didn't mean that. So Ravana was busy, he was always there on his majestic chariot or in his magnificent palace. In compared to that, Lord Ram was always on the ground with his army soldiers, living with them, eating with them, sleeping with them, fighting with them, and grieving and praying with them on the loss of their beloved ones. So this is the caring nature that we see in Ramayana of Lord Ram. And there are many, many reasons which continues, but when I was just going through this entire episode of Ramayana, I found out 11 qualities of Lord Ram as an ideal leader. And these qualities, which was exhibited by Lord Ram, the leadership qualities, these qualities are must for any spiritual leader, and any spiritual leader will definitely reflect these 11 qualities. Which are these 11 qualities? A leader is he who is, I have paired them, no? Pair of two. So a leader is he who is ensuring and enduring. A leader is he who is extending and who is expanding. A leader is he who is enthusing and who is encouraging. A leader is he who is emphatic and who is empathic. A leader is he who is empowering and who is exemplifying. And the last, 11th one, a leader is he who is exceptionally genius in decision making. So I was just trying to relate how these all qualities actually apply in the life of Srila Prabhupada as well. Now, the first quality is ensuring. The two qualities are ensuring and enduring. We don't have time to get into the details of all these qualities. But some of the pastimes which I heard, and I really found it inspiring, so I'm just sharing with all of you how Prabhupada was so ensuring. One time, His Grace Mahakratu Prabhu, he was in Hyderabad, and Prabhupada, so he recalls this pastime that when Prabhupada was in Hyderabad, Prabhupada asked for a plate of Mahaprasad, which was offered to the Lord, and then ultimately which was being offered to the devotees. So Prabhupada asked for the plate of Mahaprasad. Devotees got the plate of Mahaprasad. As soon as Prabhupada saw the plate and Prabhupada saw the items that were being prepared, Prabhupada was really displeased. Prabhupada was upset. Prabhupada actually did not even eat. Just by looking at it, Prabhupada said, devotees should have nice prasadam. Prabhupada said, this is not good. Prabhupada told that the person who is cooking, he's hired. He's actually rented. We don't want someone who is hired to cook, but we want devotees to cook. And then Prabhupada ensured that devotees actually engage in cooking. Prabhupada personally taught them how to cook. So Mahakratu Prabhu, he was sharing that how Prabhupada actually engaged him in cooking for all the devotees. And wherever Prabhupada went, whether he was in Bombay, Prabhupada Whichever temple Prabhupada went, Prabhupada made sure that devotees have best of the prasadam, because Prabhupada wanted devotees to actually stay happy and satisfied. You know, Badrinarayan Maharaj, you know, he recalls a very funny pastime. You know, there was this temple president whose name was Durlabh in Laguna Beach. And, he was not only the temple president, but he was also managing so many things. So, in order to save on money for the temple, he told all the devotees that henceforth we will not use ghee in any preparation. We will use only peanut oil. So, devotees, they were quite upset. And the devotees, they went on a non-violent, non-cooperative strike. So then this president, he said, now what to do? So he said, okay, let me ask Prabhupada only. So he went and asked Prabhupada. He went and asked Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, what is your say on using peanut oil? Prabhupada said, that is not first class. So then he didn't get the answer what he wanted. He went again second time. He asked Prabhupada, is peanut oil really good to use? Prabhupada said, that is fifth class. Third time, he went and asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, use whatever you want to use. So now he got the liberty to use peanut oil. So he started using peanut oil. Probably he thought that now I can use peanut oil. So when he was leaving, Prabhupada told a story of a person who ate a lot of pakodas made of peanut oil. So then this Durlabh asked Prabhupada, what happened to that person? Prabhupada said, next day he died. So then he got the answer, what exactly Prabhupada wanted. So Prabhupada really wanted assurance. He really wanted to make sure that the devotees eat healthy and stay happy. So that was Prabhupada was, ensuring. Enduring, so many examples can come up. But I'll move on to the next. Extending and expanding. Prabhupada was all time extending himself in order to move on, in order to push this mission. Harishwari Prabhu was recalling in 1977, the year when Prabhupada departed, Prabhupada went to Mayapur. That was the time when his health really deteriorated. Prabhupada was standing in the veranda. Prabhupada told Harishwari Prabhu, for the first time ever, I am feeling really weak. But my aim is to continue on and complete Srimad Bhagavatam. And Harishwari Prabhu continued sharing. He said that Prabhupada got an invite in Mayapur from one of the pujaris there whose name was Mahesh Pandit. And Prabhupada got this invite for a program, for a pandal program. And Harishwari Prabhu knew that it's not going to be a big time program. So he told Prabhupada, you can stay back. We will send some of your sannyas disciples for this program. And they can also conduct this program. They can come back. Prabhupada said, no, he has given an invitation to me. So I must personally go because it's a preaching opportunity. So then Prabhupada did not listen. Prabhupada was ready to go. And the day came for that program. The few hours before, Prabhupada was really weak. Prabhupada was not in the position to go. Harishwari Prabhu told Prabhupada, no, you must stay back. Then Prabhupada shared a story to Harishwari Prabhu. Prabhupada said, the son of Krishna, Pradyumna, when he was injured, his chariot driver brought him back to the camp. So then Harishwari Prabhu said, yes, this is what I am saying. Prabhupada, you are not well. So I, who is your servant, should not allow you to go back on the battlefield. But then Prabhupada said, as soon as Pradyumna was fine, Pradyumna went back on the battlefield and he fought. So Harishwari Prabhu had nothing to say. Harishwari Prabhu thought that Prabhupada has defeated me. And finally Prabhupada went for that program. It was a stage that was made for Prabhupada. Prabhupada could not climb up on the stage. Prabhupada actually collapsed. Harishwari Prabhu was there he was there behind Prabhupada, holding Prabhupada. Finally, Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasana, and Prabhupada spoke so boldly as if nothing was wrong in his life. And then finally, Harishwari Prabhu recalls how much Prabhupada extended for you and me, that Prabhupada actually gave up his life just for us. And that's how Prabhupada was so much extending even till his last breath. The fourth quality is expanding. No? A leader is not only busy expanding the projects externally, but more importantly, a leader is he who is into expanding the consciousness of the people internally. That's one of the main reason why a leader has to keep inspiring the community, so that a community's consciousness expands. It is said that when two elephants fight, then the one thing that's damaged or that's hurts the most, that's hurt the most, is the grass that is underneath the two elephants. The elephants may hurt each other or not, that's a separate thing, but the elephants will hurt the grass that's underneath them the most. So when two giant leaders fight, then there is a collateral, unseen collateral damage that actually takes place and results in so many hurts and burnout cases. It could be two political leaders on the top fighting. It could be two devotees. It could be two nations. It could be two religions. It could be just parents, husband and wife. Ultimately, the damage is seen in the child. So, leadership is all about learning to see the bigger picture and expand one's consciousness. Otherwise, we may just get so much caught up in small, petty issues and we may keep fighting rather than focusing on the higher purpose. So, this is one of the responsibilities of the leader, where a leader is also busy expanding not only the projects but expanding the consciousness of the people under him. Managers are the one who can efficiently climb the ladder, but leaders are the one who make sure that the ladder is actually resting on the right wall. So this is one of the important quality that leader has. The first was ensuring, second was enduring, third was extending, fourth is expanding. The fifth is enthusing and encouraging. We have so many pastimes in connection to this. Srila Prabhupada really encouraging his disciples. One time, Shyam Sundar Prabhu approached Srila Prabhupada and told him, "Swamiji, before I came to Krishna consciousness, I was into wrong habits. So now the police wants me to go into jail." So Prabhupada said, "Oh, even Krishna was born in jail." And then Prabhupada asked, "What is the reason for you to go to jail?" So he said, "Before coming to Krishna consciousness, I was into drug peddling." So then Prabhupada said, "Oh, even I was into drugs. I was running pharmacy." And Prabhupada said, "You just chant Hare Krishna wherever you go, Krishna will help you." These words of Prabhupada actually lighted up the whole thing, and he actually became so bold that he did not mind going into jail, and then very soon he was released. So he was sharing that how Prabhupada made us felt so much encouraged that our level of commitment and surrendered multiplied many folds. So this is what is one of the qualities of the leader, enthusing, there's many, many pastimes and connection. But we'll move on to the next. A leader is emphatic and not enforcing. A leader may be emphatic, but leader is not enforcing. And leader is equally empathic. So these are the two words, emphatic and empathic. When it came to preach and present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada was really emphatic. He did not compromise. No, even some of his disciples were finding it difficult to follow the regulative principles, Prabhupada still accommodated them. But when someone spoke against the true philosophy, someone spoke Mayavad, Prabhupada was really hard-hitting and he defended the teachings. And although Prabhupada was emphatic, but he was never enforcing. Sometimes we want to enforce certain laws, but Prabhupada did not enforce any laws. Brahmanand Prabhu recalls that Prabhupada told us many things to do, but he never really ordered us. He never enforced upon us different aspects of Krishna conscious movement. He just guided us based on seeing our receptivity, seeing our enthusiasm and our willingness. In fact, Brahmanand Prabhu shared that Prabhupada did not even demand or enforce that I want to give you initiation. Unless and until devotees went and approached him and told him, Prabhupada, would you give us initiation? Prabhupada never told them, you wash my clothes. No, unless and until devotees went and approached and requested Prabhupada, can we wash your clothes? Not only that, no, Prabhupada never forced them to learn cooking. No, till the time devotees approached and shared that I have a desire to learn cooking. And Brahmanand Prabhu continues saying that when Prabhupada left New York and went to San Francisco, devotees in New York were completely shattered. They did not know what to do because every day Prabhupada was the one who gave lecture. So now the question came, who will give lecture? It was Prabhupada who actually played the drums. So now the question came, who will play the drums? So now when all of a sudden responsibility came upon them, they had no other choice but to just, you know, comply and just follow the orders of Srila Prabhupada. And then Brahmanand Prabhu wrote a letter to Prabhupada saying, Swamiji, we miss you a lot. Prabhupada wrote back saying, it's very nice that you are missing me. And if you feel, Prabhupada is using this word, if you feel that you are missing me and if you like, you can actually put my photograph on my sitting place. Prabhupada did not enforce even putting his photograph, or Prabhupada did not enforce even starting his Guru Puja. He actually requested. And Brahmanand Prabhu says, we did not have Prabhupada's picture also at that point of time. So he asked one devotee in San Francisco to click a picture and send it to, you know, them so that they could actually place a picture of Prabhupada on his sitting place. So Prabhupada was emphatic, but Prabhupada was never enforcing. Of course, particular time, place and circumstances, Prabhupada had to enforce. But this is one quality of the leader who is emphatic, at the same time not enforcing. Then the quality of empathy. No, this is one of the important service that the leader has to offer to the community. No, to bring stability and steadiness in the disturbed minds of his subordinates in the time of crisis. Now, we all remember year 2012, it was 14th May, when we all heard, you know, the shattering news. So many devotees, you know, the dear devotees of our congregation, they left their bodies in that flight, in that plane crash. And it was so very difficult to handle the emotions, the turbulent phase, until, you know, the leader of the community actually flew from America. And, you know, he was the one who brought that steadiness and stability. during that phase. Otherwise, it was so very difficult to handle people's emotion. So it is said that when the tree of our life, when the tree of our life is deeply rooted in the soils of spirituality, then the stormy winds or the turbulent phases of life may shake us but cannot break us. And the leader actually has to stand. No, he has to face the stormy winds of bewilderment, hopelessness, uncertainty from his subordinates. And not only that, a leader is one who has to actually instill faith and instill hope in the times of hopelessness. So yes, there's a very nice saying I just came across and I was really inspired. Be not angry that you cannot make others as you wish them to be. Be not angry that you cannot make others as you wish them to be, since you cannot make yourself as you wish to be. So yes, we have a lot of expectation. A leader may have expectation from others, but we have to understand that not everyone will live up to the expectation. So when we don't live up to our expectation, we feel irritated. Or when people don't live up to our expectation, we feel irritated. So we can decrease our irritability and increase our empathy for others if we contemplate on this point. If we contemplate on this reality that we ourselves are not able to live up to our own expectations many times. We can't make ourselves the kind of person that we want to be many times. So how can we really expect anyone and everyone to just live up to our expectation all the time? And many a times, we ourselves cannot live up to our own expectation because we have our strong conditionings which really oppose or resist that change. So, yes, this is a quality, the quality of empathy. We have to empathize first with our own selves, then empathizing with others. And we have to understand that, yes, many times I myself may not be able to live up to the expectation. We have to stop developing that inner frustration which grows when we see, oh, I probably fall short many times. So these are 8 qualities. The 9th and 10th quality is the quality of empowerment and exemplifying. Empowering and exemplifying. How Prabhupada actually empowered his disciples. And exemplifying 3 things that Prabhupada did to inspire the community of devotees all across the world. 3 things. The first thing is Prabhupada offered knowledge. Second, Prabhupada actually facilitated. Prabhupada created facility by which one could practice that knowledge. And the third thing is Prabhupada inspired everyone through his own example. So this is who the leader is, exemplifying with one's own example. Whoever may be your leader, a parents are leader. So naturally, parents can offer 3 things to their children. Offer knowledge, facilitate or provide facility by which they can actually practice that knowledge. And the third is, parents can lead the children by setting the right example. So whoever we may be, counselor or a leader or parents in any field, Prabhupada actually exemplified by doing these 3 things. In fact, it is said that Krishna consciousness is more caught than taught. People will catch us doing something, and that will sink in faster than just telling them something. So when people see that here is someone who is actually following and not faking, then naturally their faith will grow and naturally they would like to follow. So a leader tries his or her best as per one's capacity to exemplify, you know, what one is preaching. So this is the 10th quality, and the 11th one is, you know, how Prabhupada was exceptionally genius in making decisions, you know, which shaped and which turned the entire flow of events in ISKCON. So this is what Lord Krishna is showing through his own example. Lord Ram in Ramayana is showing through his own example. And the great leaders, the great spiritual leaders like Srila Prabhupada, you know, teaching through their own example. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Samaveda Gaur Bhaktavinoda ki jaya.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.